going to be a little different. It's already been a little different, which is nice. And but we have, in just a few moments, we have one of our missionaries that we're looking at to take on for support will be here in just a few moments. Right now, they're in the basement. We sent them to the basement with the teenagers to go hang out with the youth. Brother Ben Muldoon and his wife Marie and their daughter Serenity, she's 11 months old. They are here visiting us today, and they happen to know Brother Kyle and Miss Anna, same home church, I believe, and so Brother Kyle stole them for the first 10 minutes of Sunday school. And they'll be down there with the youth, and then they're going to be up here in just a few moments. And we are going to enjoy this morning something that we've done in the past, where we interview the missionary and let them tell us a little bit about themselves, and we can find out about them. It's seems to be a very effective way to get to know them in a very short amount of time. So many times in church, on a typical Sunday, there's so much that's going on that it's hard to get to meet a missionary that you want to partner with. It's hard to get to meet them in just 5 or 10 minutes after church. And then rather than have them answer the same question 25 times, we can go ahead and let them talk to us and we can interview them. And then it's also going on live stream for those that are shut in and those that are sick and not being able to be here today. So we're looking forward to that in just a few moments. We do have a couple prayer requests. I do apologize I do apologize that Brother Mark is not here to give you his traditional Sunday morning nugget. And this by no means is a nugget this morning, so you guys are out of luck this morning. But Brother Mark's not able to be here. He'll be back with us next week. But we do need to mention some prayer requests this morning. Mary Morris is asking for her niece, and her niece's name is Mary. She's got some health issues, so we're going to continue. Let's pray for her. Also, let's pray for Brother Tom. I think I saw them here. Oh, there he is. Man, you're just so youthful looking that you blend in with everybody else. I couldn't even spot you in the crowd. So Brother Tom's looking good today. He's still with us. Prayer works. Him being here is testimony to the fact that prayer works. How are things going as far as the treatment and everything?
I have
one more May the 2nd.
And then we'll regroup and see.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're so glad to have you here with us, and we're praying for you, and just know that you're in our prayers on a weekly basis. Also, Mrs. Orgelina, where is she at? Mrs. Orgelina's back here. Miss Orgelina, she rode the bus this morning, and when she rides the bus, it gets her here at 10 o'clock, so she gets here early for the Spanish service. So if you try to talk to her, she can speak a little bit of English, and she does really good. She holds her own. Miss Orgelina, just to let you know a little bit about her, she's from Cuba. And so pray for her friends and family there. We don't hear much about it in the news, but there are things going on in Cuba that are awful. They're having a horrible time. We know that by way of some of our missionaries there. It's just terrible. Have they received that box that you've sent yet? How long ago did you send that box? About 9 months ago, a box was sent, and money was put out for it to be sent to get there in a roundabout way, which is a more sure way. And in the box, there were things to bribe the certain people along the way so that the box can get to where it needs to go. Now, we don't get this, but this is normal life in countries like Cuba and Liberia, and many, many places. That's everyday life. when we went to get my daughter's birth certificate, my daughter born in Mexico, we walked in to the civil registry, is where you have to go. They give you a proof of birth at the hospital, and then you take the proof of birth and you go down, and the baby has to be present. Mom had to be present. We had to know. All of our mother's maiden names, and I mean, it's just crazy. You get all that information, we walk in there, we're ready, and she says, well, just step over there, and this is where you'll be waiting, and we'll be with you in a little bit. And I said, well, how long will that be? She goes, well, it's going to be a little bit. I said, well, how many people are in front of me? She goes, 70. And in the background, I hear people pecking on typewriters, on the manual. And there's papers this long that they're filling out. And so I said, whoa, 70 people in front of me. And she said a key word, a key phrase. How long have you lived in Mexico? To which I responded, how much? And she goes, oh, no, not here. I said, whatever, I'm willing to cooperate. And in a matter of 15 minutes, I was ushered into the back. And we gave them an appreciation for their underappreciated work. It wasn't a bribe. And we were out of there in a matter of a half hour. Okay? That's just how things go in other countries. We are spoiled. We are spoiled rotten. Pray for Angelina. All that to say this. She's having a surgery on May the 6th. Okay, what a lead-in there, wasn't it? That's something else. So we're going to pray for that. She's a real good cook. Leroy can testify to that. That's right, because that's for the Spanish after church. They're going to be out. Leroy's a mess, isn't he? Spanish are going to get together after church today, and we're going to have a grill out under the pavilion. After all the gringos leave and go home. All right, well, good. I appreciate y'all, your candor. I really do. And believe it or not, right before we pray, this morning, I felt led to ask, does anyone have something to be thankful for this morning that you'd like to share? And if you do, just raise your hand and let us know. Brother Larry.
I got up this morning.
You got up this morning. Be thankful. How many are glad that you were able to get up this morning? Hallelujah. Good. Yes, ma'am. Thankful for food. I thank God for the cupcakes that are sitting on that table. I thank God that Rosie had a birthday so that we could have cupcakes. All right, somebody else. Yes, sir.
I'm thankful for my wife of 46 years.
Wife of 46 years. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I'm thankful. This summer we celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary.
Wonderful.
And that we can come visit this year.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. Thank you. Wonderful. Yes, sir.
I'm thankful for my job.
Amen.
I just celebrated 29 years.
29 years working at the same place. That's wonderful. Thank the Lord for a job. Praise the Lord for that. Yes, ma'am.
I just came through a very serious surgery and all went well, and I'm here today and learned that Tim's a good nurse.
Tim's a good nurse. I got to tell them that. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I've raised two granddaughters.
Two granddaughters.
And it's been amazing, you know, what I've had to go through because the mother and dad's dead.
Yeah.
And they're through college.
Amen.
Great jobs. And one's buying a house. And the other one's getting going from college to get her master's.
Well, amen.
And that's amen. Been one big blessing.
Praise the Lord.
God's been through it with me all the way.
Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Thank you. Praise the Lord. That's for another day. Yes, ma'am.
First of all, I'm thankful for my salvation.
Amen.
And next, I'm so thankful for my husband's surgery. It's been so good.
Amen.
Now,
is this, you're glad that he had the surgery? Is that because he can't get around as quickly? As... I'm just messing with you. Thank the Lord. He's good. Isn't he good? There's so many small things that sometimes we take for granted. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Joyce. Yes, ma'am. Amen.
And I'm thankful that God healed my husband really quick.
Amen.
Because Melania and Jesus,
yeah.
He was really sick, and he was strong enough to go with me.
Amen.
And, so I'm just thankful for God's grace and he watches over us.
Praise the Lord for that. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Sheila? Thankful for heaven. Pray for Sheila and her family. They buried her father a few days ago, but we are thankful for that hope that we have of eternal life. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow, and it won't be long. It gets to the point where we have so much more to look forward to there than we do here. It starts changing your perspective. Angie? Amen. Thank you. Yes, sir, Brian. Well, amen. Thankful for that. Yes, ma'am.
I'm thankful for our church family.
Amen.
All the opportunities we have to fellowship together. The ladies meeting last night was amazing.
It was. Amen. Thank you. And thank you for all the work that you did. Yes, sir.
It's just amazing how God works. Last Sunday, I went with my cousin down to Atlanta to see his daughter that's got stage 4 cancer. We went to church with her on Easter morning. And today, he's going to church with my brother today, and he wasn't going to church.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Who else? Yes, sir.
For me, I usually don't go to hospital. I usually don't do that, but this week, I was supposed to get in my car at 4 o'clock early in the morning, and I rushed to the hospital because my stomach was kind of upset. But when I reached there, the receptionist was about to check me in, and I told her, I said, "Is that a bathroom?" She said, "Yes." I went there.
You didn't have to get checked in. Thank the Lord. Amen. Yes, sir.
Thankful to be truly blessed, a home in heaven, and a great Sunday school teacher with a great wife. You told me to say
Amen.
That.
Thank the Lord for that. I appreciate that. All right. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Last one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's the little things. You know that God does want you to have those things, the desires of your heart. Sometimes we've tended to sometimes even vilify those or make them bad. It's almost like they're bad. But he wants us to have all good things. That's what he desires for each and every one of us. And I love those things in our life that he does that only we know that he did it. You know it was God. And those are the special, those are the very special things. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, this morning the theme so far of the morning is thank you. Thank you for who you are. Not just for what you do for us, and you do so much for us that we have to be thankful for. But thank you for who you are. And thank you for being a personal God. Thank you for knowing who we are. You've taken the time, being God, to know who I am. And you love me personally. You love each and every person individually. You save each and every person individually. You died and paid the price of sin for each person individually. We thank you for that. We love you for that. And Lord, I just pray that this week you would help us with that in mind to live each day with gratitude in our heart for what you've done for us. Lord, I pray that you would be with Orgelina in the upcoming surgery. I pray that you would also be with Mary Morris's niece, Mary, that you'd be with her. Lord, those in our church that are recovering, we pray for Sheila's family. Lord, thank you for the hope that we have of eternal life. And thank you for a life well lived. Lord, we thank you for that and be with that family. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All righty. Well, we have a treat this morning. Ben, do you want to come forward? Bring Marie with you so everybody can get a good look at her. Say hi to her. Don't you love that, Marie? I don't want to be looked at. But we want everybody to meet you, and then you're welcome to have a seat. This is Ben and Marie Muldoon. They are missionaries to Romania. And Miss Marie, you can have a seat if you'd like. I appreciate it. You say, the first question everybody asks, when is it due?
They are due.
They are due. Go ahead.
Twins, a little boy and a little girl. And they are, they're technically due August 18th, but they'll be coming the end of July.
Twins.
Then they're definitely not coming on that day.
Boy, Ben hasn't been here but 5 minutes, and he's already got certain things figured out. Sharp young man. That's awesome. Well, it's so good to have them. And Ben, tell us about how God led you to become a missionary, and just kind of give us a little bit of a background there, if you would, to get the thing started this morning.
And I'm assuming you have some more questions, so you don't want me to take too long.
You go right ahead. Go right ahead.
So whenever God leads me, he has to be very patient and go for the long haul. With my wife, it's quite the opposite. Usually he's just like, Marie? And she's like, okay. Me, I'm like, are you sure? I don't know about that. So it started back when I was a teenager. My dad was a pastor out in Wyoming. I grew up in ministry. And he regularly brought missionaries into the church, and just that exposure and just seeing what God was doing in the world. By the time I was 15, God had definitely put a burden on my heart and a surrender to missions down the road. I didn't know where, when, who, or any of that, so I just wanted to be useful for the glory of God. And so I got my education and training in aircraft mechanics and business management. I said, well, I don't know where I'm going to be or if I'm going to have to work or what, so I'll just try to get something as broad as I can. And then while doing that training, God exposed me to the deaf in 2012. And then in the summer of 2013, I got to work at the Bill Rice Ranch as a deaf camp counselor, and then went over to Bulgaria for the World Deaf Olympics. And that exposure to the deaf internationally, where you're meeting sharp, driven, very capable deaf that have no understanding of the gospel. Like, the most they know about Jesus is that on the Catholic and Orthodox Church, he's hanging on the crucifix. But they don't know anything else. And just it really broke my heart for the deaf. That's actually where I met Brother Larry Gallion as well. And then in the city, in the capital city of Bulgaria, Sofia, there was no gospel outreach church there within the capital city. And then there was nothing for the deaf almost in the entire country. And so God began to put a burden on my heart for Eastern Europe. And so I, you know, followed what Matthew 9 says, you know, pray for laborers, right? Well, if you keep reading into chapter 10, you find that Jesus ended up sending the very men that he had told to pray for laborers. I didn't read all that, I guess, somehow. I don't know. I must have read it in my life, but it didn't connect. So a few years later, in end of January 1st, 2016, the gentleman that led that team, David Bennett, had become a friend and a mentor. And he had been investing in my life and the life of a few other young adults. And so he invited us to a deliberate discipleship retreat. The first one was just an experiment. So actually where we met, it was not love at first sight. Not hatred at first sight, but it definitely was not love at first sight. I can assure you that, on either side. But January 1st, David Bennett challenged me to really consider deaf missions full-time with my life. And so God used that as a kind of goad to really get me to pray about it. And so God used his word, biblical authority, parents, pastor, as well as other members in the body of Christ, to just confirm his leading and calling in my life. So I took about 2 months. Within about 2 months, God very clearly confirmed it. So then I was working as a car mechanic at the time, and so complete shift. So I went back to school, got my seminary degree, Master of Arts in Biblical Exposition, and then went through a pastoral training, a ministry apprenticeship program at Stanley Heights Baptist Church down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where Kyle Snyder, last year, he went through that program. And it was there that God really used the book of Ephesians to really reaffirm in my heart the priority God places on his local church. And so God blended together the burdens for deaf, for local church. And then God used the ministry of my parents. So my dad was a pastor in Wyoming. At the age of 61, God called him to full-time missions overseas into Papua New Guinea. And so God is using him and my mom to train pastors, national pastors, and their wives. And God has just multiplied their ministry through that. And so through that combination of influences, I had a real burden to see a local church established for the deaf and their hearing friends and family. And but then also through Ephesians and through Matthew 28 and 2 Timothy chapter 2, realized that my ministry needs to also major on training deaf men for gospel ministry. There's about 70 million in the world that are deaf, dependent upon a visual language to communicate, and less than 5% of them have ever seen a clear presentation of the gospel. And so there's no way my wife and I are going to get to all 70 million, because they're kind of spread out. So the only way to really make an impact is if you develop men with the philosophy of training other men. To have a multiplication mindset, a reproduction mindset. And so that's really our burden and our passion, is to see God use that local church there in Eastern Europe as a starting point to impact not only Romania, but that region, and then, Lord willing, growing concentric circles out.
Amen. I love it. Let me ask you this. You briefly mentioned about it wasn't love at first sight. So tell me about how the love part kicked in and how you guys met.
or
fell in love.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, we had met at that retreat in 2015. My wife was headed to Honduras full time. She had just started deputation to go to Honduras to work with a church planner down there to start a deaf ministry, to train a national couple and start a deaf ministry in Honduras. And so she was, you know, very focused, 100%. She was go, go, go. She would never stop moving. I, by nature, am a bookworm. I'm quieter, slower, way slower, you know, intellectually, as well as decision-making. And so I was way too slow for her. I wasn't doing anything with my life. I'm just a mechanic, you know, talking about how I love the death. It's like, yeah, do something about it. And she was way too fast. For me, I was like, you never stop moving. Why would I want to live with someone who never stops moving? So it was no interest right off the bat on either side. And then the following year, both of us went back to the same retreat. And God had been working in her life and in her prayer life. And she was still very driven, very mature, but there was... I saw over the course of a year, God did a work in her heart, and by that time, I was enrolled in my master's program, and so she was like, oh, he actually is doing something, and I was like, wow, she actually can, like, sit still. This is exciting. So mutual respect developed that year. The following year, we were both at the retreat again, and that's when she started to like me. I still was not interested in her. I told you, I'm slow.
And most guys are.
Yeah, well, I feel like the epitome sometimes. So that would have been, let's see, would have been 2018, January of 2018. So I graduated 2018, went through the MAP program. By that time, the two of us and another friend of ours in Deaf Missions would randomly do video chats. How's your ministry going? What can we pray for? And so that friendship really developed and a mutual respect. And so she was praying that God would somehow redirect my life down to Honduras, and I was still clueless. And then God began to work in my heart about her, and really began to point out things of philosophy of ministry that's the same, goals that are the same, really things that are important to me. She held as well. And then I looked at God and I was like, well, I don't really think she's pretty. And she's down in Honduras, and so she's never going to leave Honduras to come to Romania. I know. It's okay. She knows this story. You don't have to look so shocked. I told you I'm slow. I don't. and God used.
He is young. He'll learn. He'll catch on.
And God used Titus chapter 2 that says, "In the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this world." And God used that verse to show me that I was making my decision based off the world's value system and what the world's ranking was as opposed to his ranking. And the things that were going to actually truly make for a godly marriage and a godly ministry for the long haul, she already had. And so I wasn't happy about it, but I surrendered. Started to take steps, and as I took steps of obedience, God then changed my heart. And so very rapidly began to see her as very attractive, and then even sooner after that, she's gorgeous. She's I love her to death. She's amazing. I was lucky to have her. And so that was 2019, summer of 2019, where we started a relationship, and then June 6, 2020, we got married, and then God surprised us with little baby Serenity. Showed up in May of 2021, and now we have twins coming in July of 2022.
Surprise number two.
Yes, and it was a double surprise. It was a two-for-one deal, awesome. And I didn't realize that was what it was going to be.
So tell us about Romania right now. This is where you're headed.
Yes, sir.
But things happen, and that kind of set you back a little bit in humanly speaking. But then what does ministry look like for you moving forward right now?
So between the twins' arrival and showing up in the world, and then also things that are going on politically and also by default economically over there right now, we were, with all the refugees coming in, things are in flux as far as housing and different and location and language school opportunities. So we were encouraged by the leadership in our life to postpone. We had originally planned to be leaving in May or at the latest October, but now we've pushed that forward to January. And so when, Lord willing, if he allows us to arrive in January, phase one is just gonna be laying a foundation of learning Romanian, very focusing heavily on really getting that language. And then not only the spoken and written language of Romanian, but then we'll also have to learn Romanian Sign Language. It's distinct from American Sign Language, so both of us know American. My wife knows Honduran on top of that. And then we'll be learning Romanian Sign Language as well. Depending on where exactly God lands us to plant the deaf church, we may also have to learn Hungarian Sign Language, and there's also been an influx of deaf Ukrainian refugees that have come into the country as well. There's about 800 of those that we know of. There could be more. And so there's a possibility we'll have to also learn Ukrainian Sign Language as well. So there's a lot of foundation of just culture we'll have to learn, and how the basically universal deaf culture, but it's flavored by its surrounding culture. And so we'll have to learn how the Romanian culture or Hungarian culture has influenced the deaf culture and tweaked it, so to speak. So a lot of foundation in phase one of just learning. And yes. Then phase two, focusing on through the relationships we have developed during language learning, then using those as easy bridge. And by that time, they'll already know why we're there, because they're so blunt and straightforward that if you're not upfront with them, then they're distrustful of you later on. And so using those bridges and opportunities to then develop evangelism, Bible study, and then see them involved in the establishment of a local church, and then really focus on the maturing of the believers in that local church, so that for phase three of ministry, long-term ministry, when we're training deaf men for gospel ministry within the context of the local church, it's not just my wife and I training men for gospel ministry. It's the church training these men to be sent out. So
exactly.
And then, Lord willing, longer term, we can get men from surrounding countries to come as well. And then we'll see what God does as far as reproducing a similar style of training centers across the Eastern Europe.
So we look at a deaf ministry or a deaf missionary, and we automatically think, oh, that's super simple. You just go, you do the thing, and you just sign it. That's all. And there's so much more involved. As he was describing, having to learn possibly three different languages just to be able to learn a sign language in that language, because culture is part of that. And then add to that, as has been explained to me, you would be more know more about this than I would, but the deaf community is a very already on a very base level, they're already distrustful. Mm-hmm. Because they are minus certain senses, and their alert is heightened. Mm-hmm. And so they're extra cautious than we would be normally. So you add that to the mix, which is what I thought he said something very interesting about having to earn their trust and be up front with them in the very beginning, them knowing why he's there. So all the more that we must pray for. Yeah. When that happens, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I'd like to expand a little bit on that. Yes. Idea of distrust of the hearing world. So, you know, it's very easy as a hearing person looking at a deaf person. We tend to go. I call it. I don't know if there's an actual term for it, but I just call it the Messiah complex. You know, I'm going to be your savior. I'm going to be your rescuer. Well, from their point of view. In first world countries, so Romania technically is a second world country. I don't have the statistics on a second world country. But in a first world country like America, France, UK, 90% of hearing parents that have a deaf child never learn sign language to be able to have a conversation. So right off the bat, for the first 7 years of their life average, before they start to learn sign language, they are in complete isolation from the hearing world. And the message they're getting as an impressionable child is that I'm unloved, I'm unwanted by this hearing world. This, I don't fit, I don't belong. And on top of that, this hearing world doesn't really want me. I'm going to have to fight to survive in this hearing world. And so then when they get introduced to the deaf community, and they have relationship, and they have communication, and they have friends, and their community becomes their place of resource, whereas a lot of times for us in the hearing world, our resources are institution-based. So a school, a grocery store, a hiring center, right? Whereas for them, it's like they have to ask their fellow members in the community, where's a good interpreter? Which hospital has the best interpreter? Not which hospital is the best. Which warehouse is going to hire a deaf person, take a risk on a deaf person? They're not going to find that because, you know, all the websites say, we are equal opportunity employer, right? But among the deaf community, they actually know who's hiring deaf people because they can't do every job. So, but they're going to find out where's hiring. So their resources, their friendships, their relationships, their trust is with this community that they identify with because it's where they have relationship. And relationship is a huge, important part of our identity, right? And it's very important to trust. And so, you know, for hearing people that learn sign language already, they're intrigued by you as a hearing person because you don't have to learn sign language to survive. They have to learn the second language, the written language of the country they're in, if they're going to thrive. So they're intrigued by you, so that intrigue gives you a window of opportunity. So then if you're willing to then be humble and come under the deaf community and be a learner from them, like you allow them to be the teachers, you allow them to guide you, then that builds rapport and trust, because usually it's, oh, the hearing people are in charge, and we just have to sit there and do what they tell us, instead of you coming and learning from them. And then as you learn from them and you build that rapport and you build that language skill and they see you diligently improving in your language, that builds the trust and the respect, because it's like, oh, they really want to meet us on our level and in our language. And their language is very important to their identity. And so you learn their language, you're showing respect to their identity and their community, which then opens up opportunities for true relationship with them. And that, and along the way, just that openness, because they're very blunt and open. Because if these wonderful ladies over here were having a conversation in sign language, anyone that knew sign language in this entire room could just look over and know what they're talking about, right? So that just develops a culture of being just very open. And so if you're not very open, we can't trust you, go away.
So can I take a pause for application? How does the world that we live in view us? Hmm. And would what he is describing, would that not help us relationally in sharing the gospel with others? Hmm. Just a thought. Just a thought. We've got a few more minutes. Where would you live when you go there?
We'll be living in one of the two major cities or nearby one of the major cities, the deaf, especially your sharper driven deaf that you could actually develop and train, are going to be living in your cities. And they gravitate to them for education, work, and just community. And so we'll be either in Bucharest, the capital, or in Cluj, the second largest city. Please pray for us. We don't have a lot of clarity about which is the best language school, and so we're trying to discern that. And then once we have that, then by that time we'll have more opportunities to look at, really examine both cities and move forward from there. So we'll probably start in an apartment, and then Lord willing, though, once we land on exactly where to start the church, we would like to buy a house over there, because, I mean, I have three little ones at least. Who knows if there'll be more surprises.
Okay. Wonderful. All right, real quick, I know that we didn't get to a lot of the questions. As far as cultural differences between Romania and the U.S., there are some modern type mm-hmm. things that we can associate and relate to, mm-hmm. but what would be a big cultural difference, U.S.-Romania?
Yeah, so in the 1900s, from the early 1900s to 1998, early 2000s, Romania went through territorial dismemberment, occupation, military dictatorship, monarchy, fascism, communism, revolution, and democracy in a 100-year span. That has produced then in the people a moral flexibility that values survival. So if they have to adjust or say something that's not exactly true to survive, because it gives them a better opportunity to survive and thrive, right? Then culturally, they tend to be comfortable with it. They don't see anything wrong with it. They call it shmeka, You're clever. You're able to make the other person think that they're getting a good deal, even though you're the one that's really getting the great deal.
We call it lying.
Yeah, we call it lying, yeah. Right? But culturally, that's what they consider it. They consider it an important tool for survival, and those who have shmecha are leaders in their communities because those were the types of people that got them through surviving all those changes.
Wow. Interesting. Very, 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 very interesting. Well, what's the best part of being a missionary so far? What do you like?
Oh, man. I love being on the adventure with God. It's so much fun to watch him do things that you couldn't have imagined, but also changing me as I see more of him. But then I also love passing on our burden and passion for the deaf community to other people and them getting it and getting a hold of the burden with us and their eyes and their understanding of really being able to pray more effectively for the people group that we love.
Okay, 3 minutes left. What has to happen for you to move your family from here to there?
Healthy twins.
Healthy twins, yeah. Yes. So you're moving infants.
Yes, I'll be moving three children. Let's see, in January, there'll be three children under 2 years old, right around a year and a half to under a year and a half.
How much is plane fare?
One way is probably about $800, $600 to $800.
$600 to $800 times five.
Yes, sir.
All right. What about visas?
I don't know yet the cost. We would go first, of course, on a tourist visa, but then we'll be applying with the Minister of Cults, because we're not Orthodox, so we're a cult. Even the Baptist Union that's been there a long time, so we have to apply as a cult. but one of the challenges to that is to apply for a longer-term visa, you have to have a location you're staying, an apartment already renting, and so a lot of things are going to have to come in place as far as logistics, as far as a place, the language school we know we're going to go to so that we can get an apartment lined up, so that then we can then take the necessary steps. We also have to have a supporting agency, religious agency. The Baptist Union has worked with missionaries before, but the Baptist Union over there isn't the same as Independent Baptists over here doctrinally, so I'm praying through that and trying to talk to some more people and see what kind of strings are attached with that agency umbrella, and so the support, the sponsor, the location, the language school, and then just the logistics of traveling with, you know, all those little ones that won't be walking around on their own, to make so that we can apply effectively for the visa, and then pray that as of this point you do not need to have your COVID vaccination. As of right now, so pray that continues to stay that way in Romania. A lot of European countries are going that route, and so just pray that Romania stays flexible with that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Ben. I appreciate that very much. Just before he ends, have you noticed that everything that he's talked about so far, we haven't even touched a lot of the spiritual aspect of it? That's just the part that we have to go through in order to live there, to be able to reach those folks. And let's compare that. Sometimes we're a little worried about what hymn got sung on Sunday, and that puts a burr under our saddle, and we get a little upset. There are bigger issues in the world, so somebody can get saved and hear the gospel. We said it. We're spoiled. We are very spoiled. And we've got a lot to pray for. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Marie, for being with us this morning and for sharing your burden and kind of laying out a little bit. Again, we did not have the time to develop everything that has to take place just for you to get to where you're going so that they can hear the gospel. And not only that, but then you're going to train someone so that someone in the deaf community in that area can then again train others so that we could start this multiplication process. That multiplication process doesn't look real fancy and big numbered in the very beginning. But later on down the road, anybody that knows about math, I do not, but I'm told that you start the compounding. The very beginning doesn't look real fancy. But down the road, things start happening. My mom and dad started two churches in 34 years. There are 25 or 26 churches that are going now after they're gone. My dad's gone off the scene, and my mom is not able to do much these days. But that multiplication process does work. That's what Christ did he not? Lord, thank you so much for what we've enjoyed this morning. Thank you for the testimony time. Thank you for, Lord, the privilege of having Ben and Marie with us today. Lord, we pray your hand of blessing right now on their life as they prepare to go do what you've called them to do. We pray for the birth of these two young ones, Lord. I pray that you would protect Marie and protect these babies, Lord. And I pray that as they're born, everything would just be health-wise would be just right, Lord. I just pray. And then, Lord, I pray that you would take care of that part so that you could get them to the field. Lord, you've called them. You've called them for a reason because you know that they have what it takes for what you need to accomplish. And thank you for allowing us to partner a little with them. And Lord, I pray that you just be with them, that your hand would be on them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All righty, we have cupcakes left. They cannot stay.